God has done and where we are today. Steve and I have only been married about 5 years. So we have some brokenness and trials that we walked through a long time ago. And the Lord brought us together. Actually, God brought us together at a Central Region Pastors Conference 6 years or so ago now. I was credentialed, so I was able to go to the Open Bible Pastors Conference, and I sat at a table beside somebody I felt comfortable sitting with, and so did he. And for him, that was his sister, Naomi. And those two seats happened to be next to each other, and so the rest is history. So we've been married for about 5 years, and...
And I, you know, by the way, Jake, you introduced it wrong. I am Naomi's favorite brother.
You're her only brother, babe.
I know that.
Okay.
And also, I'm your favorite uncle. Where'd you go, Jake and Christina? Favorite uncle. So I just wanted to correct that, to set the, get the information correct out here, because that's who I am. And also, by the way, if I say something that doesn't sound funny, that's just normal. I try. So that's normal, who I am. So I just want to just say we're glad we're here, and we're excited because we were preparing for this time. We're saying, what do we have for the church today? What does God want us to say to you? And we had an idea. We were going down a path, and it was just not flowing. So I was in the bathroom shaving. Literally, I was shaving. And it went bing, you know, like bing. I heard it in my head. Now that's just bing. And so I said, oh, I got it. So I went into Jan, and with the shaving cream all over my face, I said, Jan, write this down. And there were three statements, and you'll hear them in a minute.
And I had woken up that same morning, and I just woke up thinking these thoughts, like this is the message that God has for this church at this time. So we really feel like this is a message that the Lord has for you today. The first statement I'm going to make is, sometimes things are not as they seem. Would you all agree with that? Sometimes they're not as they seem. A good example of that was a few years ago when I was traveling in my business. I was in a job where I traveled a lot. And I was making a connection from Nashville, Tennessee to Cedar Rapids, where I lived. And I had to change planes at O'Hare Airport. Ever traveled through O'Hare Airport? It's kind of a crazy place. My flight was late. My connection was ready to go, and I was pretty much at the opposite end of the airport. So I ran for what seemed like a very long time. And I got to the gate just in time, got on the plane, and I sat down, and I was seated next to a gentleman that just looked really scraggly. And as the plane took off, I started to note a body odor, and I thought, I have to sit next to this guy. He looks like this. He has body odor, blah, 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 and I'm like all judgmental. Don't judge me. You've done it, right? Okay. So about halfway through the flight, guess what I figured out? The body odor wasn't coming from him. That's right. I had just run across O'Hare Airport, okay? The body odor was mine. God so convicted me in that flight. It was not what he appeared. I was judging somebody, hadn't talked to the man, didn't know anything about him, and I was judging him, and it was not how it appeared.
You know, and sometimes when we're walking in life, we have situations where we think we have the answer, or we think that God isn't answering quick enough, or we're not getting a clear enough message. When I was in high school, I was not I was not like Naomi where I got, you know, really good grades. So, you know, there were certain classes that gave me challenges and certain things. And so, but there are certain things I did well. So I enjoyed those and did those well. So when I graduated, and I graduated, you know, in Des Moines at Tech High School, which is not there anymore, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And so my counselor said, you know, why don't you just go ahead and apply for Iowa State? I said, I'm not going to get accepted to college, but I'll apply. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what? I think I'll maybe join the Navy. Because if I join the Navy, then I get money to go to college if I want to go to college. So I pursued that. And I was, you know, met with my, you know, they met with, the guy met with my mom and dad and myself and said, here, this is what you need to do. And I was about ready to sign up, and God just said, just wait a second. Just wait. My idea was to, I can do this. But it ended up that I didn't sign it. I got a letter from Iowa State. I was accepted. They gave me a plan of how I could go to school and how I could pay for it. And I went to Iowa State, so go Cyclones. For the lost ones in here, I'll pray for you. Okay. Another time in my life where I thought I had an idea and God had a better idea was when I was had a friend of mine that we were meeting, or not a friend, a friend of Jonathan's, my youngest son, that we're meeting in Galena to have him go visit someone in Cedar Rapids. And the person coming, their car wasn't available, and so they asked Jan to drive the car to Galena. So Galena is, what, an hour and a half away from each of us, and I saw her there as we're passing. I said, oh, she looks nice. Now, I got to tell you that I was single for like 8 years by then, and I was just waiting. I hadn't dated anyone, and I was just like, okay, God, you know, you look for opportunities, right? Okay, just be honest. Those of you that are not married, young, you know, you're just thinking, I'm just looking for opportunities, right? I thought, nah, she's an hour and a half away. That's too far. I'm not into long-distance relationships. So I thought nothing of it. Well, you can see what happened.
6 months later was that pastor's conference.
So. Do you want to bring up that first slide, please? Now, I don't know if you could see these pictures. Some of you may have seen these things before. But picture on the left. How many of you see a young woman? How many of you see a young woman? How many of you see an older woman? Okay. Now, if you see the young woman, go down below her chin, and you see that little angle piece in there? Make that into a mouth and see if it changes into an old woman. Now, if you see the older woman, look above the mouth and make that into a chin. You see the younger woman? Things aren't always what they seem. The picture next to it, that's pretty obvious. It's a tree, and you can see a woman in that forest as well. You see that pretty easily. Let's go to the next slide. This is a different kind of version of that one on the left. Look and see if you can find both the young woman. Now, if you see the young woman, make that line below the chin a mouth. Now you see the old woman. See it translate or change back and forth. So things aren't always that they seem to be. And sometimes when we feel inadequate, and others seem together and you don't feel together, you think, ah, man, what's the problem here? We compare ourselves with others and say, I'm not like them. I can't do that. Maybe that's not what others see in you. Maybe they see something different. When in high school, as I already shared, I wasn't real strong academically, so I didn't feel real good about school. And I was at Tech, and we had like a core area where we were there for like 3 hours of the day. And basically during that time, we would just insult each other. And see, I mean, really, we would. We would slam on each other, and we think anything that could be a hint of negative, we would point out about that person. Anything that could be insulting, anything that could say, you know, point out that, and you guys know what I mean. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe everybody else in here is nice. But you looked at that. And that was just who I became during high school.
You know, every single one of us has things that we're insecure about, don't we? Don't we focus on those? We are not alone in that. Sometimes when others seem so together and we feel like a mess, we see the together in them and we only see the mess in us. I'm reminded of, you know, when we drive. sometimes out on the road, I'll see people, and I used to be different about this, but I'll see a driver that's acting erratically or whatever, and instead of going into the road rage mentality, I will think to myself, what if that's a young mom who's got three little kids, and the little one just threw up, and the other one's late for soccer? It's like, can I just give some mercy? Do I have to just assume that that's just some terrible person driving that car? It's probably not how it is. And sometimes I have a love for the elderly. And sometimes when we see older people, we see the old, right? We see the old. I'm getting to be one of them now, and I get it. I get it more than I used to get it. The group that we had when Steve and I were serving at Journey Church in Loves Park, Illinois, and he was pastoring there, and I was kind of overseeing the seniors group. I don't like that term anymore because I am one now. But they called themselves the Joy Group, and Joy stood for just older youth. That's what we are. That's what we are. And there's a picture, this picture right here, I love this because that's an older person. We may see her like she is there, but when she looks in the mirror, maybe that's what she sees. Maybe that's what we need to see. I love being around people older than me because I love the stories. I love the wisdom. I love all of that. I don't just want to see that's an older person. See beyond. See beyond what we think is evident. So as we think of ourselves and our flaws and other people being together, does that sometimes keep us on the sidelines? For me, until I was actually over 30, I had so much, I'm just going to call it what it was self-hatred, that I was on the sidelines all the time. I learned later in life that I had gifts that I pretty much squandered for a lot of years because I just stayed on the sidelines because of looking inward all the time. So what does God have to say about this? Where does the church come in? What do we do? Well, the scripture that we're going to read from today is in Hebrews chapter 10. And if anyone wants to go to that, you can do that. Chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. This is from the New Living Translation, which we've enjoyed reading lately. And this is a message to the church. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, you know, this is the Bible. We talk about this a lot where we go to church now. The Bible consists of two parts. The Old Testament is creation up until about 400 years before Christ. The New Testament is the eyewitness accounts in the first four Gospels, and then teachings to the church, how to be a church. So here's what we're taught to do in Hebrews. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
You know, this verse here was, I've used this verse before, and I called it the salad sermon that I preached on it because it had a lot of lettuce in it. So just think about the verse. Lettuce. Okay, I told you it wouldn't be necessarily funny. What we learn in this is to see what God sees in others. Talking to the church here, it says, and let us see how we can encourage one another. And let us do these things. As we are the church here, those that are here, we are the church. We need to learn to see what God sees in others. And as the church, we need to practice for what we are to do in the world, in the church. And as the church, family is our strength. And we need to empower for the world. We need to empowerment for the world. That means that we are the church who are to go out and be the church in the world. So as we go from here, we have this building We call the building the church a lot, and it's not. It's a building. It's just bricks, wood, and it'll all decay. But the church, believers, will be living forever. And we are to take the church to the world. How did this come about? In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says this: all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are part of it. We are the body. We are the church. See what God sees. See more in others than they see in themselves. See what God sees. See more in ourselves than we see in ourselves. See what God sees. Do you see what God sees?
I have a friend whose name is Sarah, who gave me permission to talk about her this morning. I've been sort of mentoring her for quite a few years now, from back when we lived in Illinois. And I watched Sarah come from a very difficult childhood and growing up and family. And Sarah chose to change her life. She actually had a plan for about 3 years to move to Florida. And she got a job with a chain that had stores in Florida. She just had this whole plan, and she moved to Florida all alone. She knew no one there. I've just kind of walked this journey with her. It's just been so amazing to watch her. And she's in her 20s. And she called me this last week, and she said, I'm really struggling because I've been going to my church now for quite a while, but I feel like I'm invisible there. I feel like nobody notices me. And when I think about it, I've kind of felt this way my whole life. And I'm sure all of us have had times when we have felt that. And as we talked about it, my words back to her were, if you want to be noticed, start noticing other people. She said, you know what? I know of a couple other people that have left the church because they felt like they weren't connected and nobody noticed them. And I said, you could have helped them, Sarah. And as we talked about that, everyone has a battle. Everyone has a burden, an insecurity, a story. And if we can learn how to ask about that story and learn how to encourage other people and compliment other people, it makes such a huge difference in who we are. And Sarah said to me this week, she said, I'm working really hard to overcome these things for the future generations of my family. I don't want my kids or my grandkids to have the childhood that I had. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone here. And so rather than thinking about maybe I should just fade out of the church I'm in, maybe I should start noticing who else is there, because there's other people there that maybe, just maybe, I can make a difference by encouraging them. And really, we can change a pattern, can't we? We can change a pattern. The next generation could change with you and with me. And it starts here in the body of Christ. It starts right here, noticing each other. You know, I often say sometimes the people who least deserve a word of encouragement need it the most. Is that not true? And sometimes it's just hard to give it. Hard to give it when you're angry, when you're whatever it is. But give that word of encouragement. And when you think something nice, say it. I'm one of those people that I notice things like people. In fact, there's probably 5 or 10 of you in here that I noticed your clothes this morning. I'm like, man, that's really cute. I make my husband crazy. I'm always talking to strangers. But you're
we
not
make friends everywhere we go.
But you're not strangers. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? So when you think something nice, say it. And, you know, that we can take that outside of the church. Not too long ago, I was at the grocery store, and the cashier, the person in front of me was just being really mean to the cashier. And the cashier handled it so well. And after, when it got to be my turn, I said that out loud. You handled that person so well. I mean, don't you sometimes think things like that, but you don't say it? Say it. Just say it.
Right.
See what God sees. See more in others than they see in themselves. See what God sees. See more in yourself than you see in yourself. See what God sees. See what God sees.
So how do we do that? How do we see more others than what they see? How do we see more in ourselves than what we see? Sometimes we have to act as if. What does that mean? Does that mean, what that means really is like, I had to learn or relearn, or I had to develop an ability to encourage people because I was not an encourager. I would look for negative things and point them out rather than positive things. And I had to work at looking for positive things that I could say about someone. Now, Jan, as she's already pointed out, you know, we find friends and she talks to everybody. You know, that she knows no stranger and I feel awkward. But that's okay. To act as if. I'm an encourager. I had to learn that skill. But you say, but isn't that kind of hypocritical because you're really being a hypocrite here? Well, they sometimes redefine, or they define hypocrisy in a way that's really not true. Because what is in your heart? If you have Christ in your heart, if Jesus is living in your heart and your life, we should reflect Christ. And to reflect Christ means we need to love people. Do you think Jesus knew a stranger? No, he did not. And so we need to reflect Christ. Your feelings and your heart is what needs to pour out. That's to act as if. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, they were acting a certain way, but it really wasn't what was in their heart. It really wasn't what was true to them. They just wanted people to think that that's what was truth.
We often think we're not capable of acting as if. Have you ever been at a place where you've either been in a time of grief in your life, in a time of upset in your life, when you feel like a mess, and you're just not able to act as if you care about someone, right? For a lot of years, I worked for hospice, and I did a lot of admissions. I would meet with families and do the admission process for families bringing a loved one onto hospice. You know what? I had to act as if. There was a time when my mother died. There was a time when I myself was going through cancer treatment. But when I walk in to meet with a family whose loved one is dying, I don't get to be a mess, right? I don't get to be a mess. And so I learned, it taught me a lot, because I learned I can rise above even when I think I can't. I can. And typically when I would go into that situation, I would walk away feeling so encouraged myself. So when we think we can't control our emotions, we just can't control ourselves, I'll give you a little scenario. What if you were in your house and everybody's mad at everybody and yelling and screaming and everything's a mess? I know that doesn't happen in any of your houses. I'm talking about other people. And what if Pastor Phil showed up at your door? Would you act as if? Well, I would. Pastor shows up at my door. I don't want Pastor to see this part of me, so we act as if. We really can rise above. Sometimes we need to not trust our feelings and emotions. I know we hear this all the time, but it is so true. Our feelings and emotions can take us the wrong direction. Steve and I enjoy running together. And the last couple of years, we did a half marathon, 13 miles. Don't do it. It's just a crazy idea. I'm just saying. But we did a lot of training. And when it gets to be about mile 12 of the 13 miles, if you trust your feelings, you're just going to die. you can't say, I can't take one more step. You have to take one more step. And you say to yourself, this is where the training needs to kick in here. So not trusting in feelings, but saying, yes, I can. I've trained for this. You know where training happens? Right here in the church. That's our training. That's where we learn how to love each other, how to not trust our feelings. That's where we learn. We come under the teaching that we have here. And I happen to know you have an amazing pastoral team here. I am related to them. I know them. They're the real deal, I'm just telling you. And I think about Christina. Christina, in the last couple of years, has been on a mission trip to Cuba, to India, and she's been one of the leaders with a bunch of youth. Were there some times, Christina, on those trips where you were shaking in your shoes a little bit, a little nervous, a little scared, a little whatever? Did you act as if? You had to, didn't you? You're a leader with a group of youth. What's that going to do to the youth if the leader's freaking out and being scared, right? We act as if. We have situations where that's required. You know, we act as if really by faith, because God empowers us to do these things. These are things that he wants us to do. See what God sees.
So what's your next step? What is our next step? What do we do now? In 1 Thessalonians 5, talks about our attitude, our actions, and our thoughts. It says, always be joyful. Now, how can we always be joyful? Well, that means we have to take a look at what we're seeing and say, where is God in this situation? What is God doing right now when somebody rear-ends you? What can you say? You got to see what God's doing in this. Oh, I've got an opportunity to meet someone. That's a big twist.
That would be me.
That's a big twist, but I guess so. So be joyful always and never stop praying. Never stop talking to God. Don't stop. Just all day long. You know, out loud might be a little bit freaky, but, you know, just talk to God, okay? In your head, mostly. I think that'd probably be the best for most people. But if you're alone, talk out loud. Scream, whatever you want to do. But, you know, at Walmart, be careful. you might find a friend. Okay. Be thankful in all circumstances. When that guy rear-ends you, just be thankful. You're not dead, right? Good perspective. You're still breathing. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. See more in others than what they see in themselves. I want you to look at these pictures. What do you see? You see a person looking in the mirror and seeing something different in their reflection? Or maybe do you see the person standing behind a person seeing more in that person than what they see in themselves? That's our perspective. That's our task. That's what God's called us to do, is to be that person standing there behind someone when they're looking in the mirror and they're saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this, I'm not that. And for us to say to them, I see more in you than what you see in yourself. I see a beautiful young lady. I see a handsome, gifted young man. See more in others. Don't just think it. Be like Jan and say it. Don't just think it. Think about what you can say to someone. Think about how you can, and let us consider, and let us consider. There's always something nice to say, compliments, encouragement. Focus on them. Ask about them. You know, Naomi, she's the baby of the family. In case you didn't know that, you know, she had all that extra care from all her siblings. But you know there's something about Naomi that she focuses on you. She doesn't come to you and talk about her. She focuses on you. That's my baby sister. What do you do with your free time? When you're trying to connect with someone, when you're trying to encourage someone, when you're trying to lift them up, how do you do that? It's like, talk to them. Ask them questions. Find out about, what do you do with your free time? What do you enjoy doing on your day off? You know, find out what you can say and find out about them and see how you can encourage them. Where do you work? What do you do? Focus on them. Who in your life today needs to see more in them than they see in yourself? See what your next best step is. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities.
Sometimes I think we just need to look up. You know, it's so easy to walk around with that tunnel vision, especially if we're downcast in our own spirit. You know, we're looking down, we're downcast. I can still remember growing up when my mom saying, put your shoulders back, stand up, stand tall. I hated being tall, so she had to tell me that. But part of it was how I felt about myself. I did not notice all the people around me. I still look back, and I, you know, God has redeemed all of that, but I look back and I think I missed so many opportunities to be an encourager, because that is a gift that I have that was never being used because I just didn't look up and look outside of myself. And the next thing is, see more in yourself than you see in yourself. See what God sees. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, David, when he had so many adversaries and was facing so much, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, the Lord is the great encourager above anyone else. And also, as we try to see, it's important that we all see more in ourselves than we see in ourselves. I hope that makes sense. Steve and I both keep a file from over the years. You know, Steve was pastoring for almost 30 years, and he has, you know, letters or things of encouragement that people have written to him. I have those from my ministry time, from my career years, and every now and then when we're struggling, we go back to that, and we remember what someone else saw in us. We also need to do things that are life-giving to us. If we are going to see more in ourselves and begin to see what God sees in ourselves, the way that we get out of ourselves is to do things that are life-giving to us. It's just one of many ways. For Steve, if he can build something or organize something, that's an encouragement to him. That's life-giving to him. What's life-giving to me is letting him do it. I love how he organizes. I'm not good at it. I love it that he is. For me, reading and personal growth and obviously people, not necessarily crowds of people, but people are an encouragement to me. And exercise for us together, if we're eating junk and we're not working out at all, we are different than when we're eating healthy and we are exercising. We just are. And so that is life-giving, even when we don't feel like it. And it's also important to be around people who are life-giving to you. We all have people in our lives who are draining for us, right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be with them, but in order for us to pour out an overflow of what's within us, we need that back in us. So we need to be around people who are life-giving. I could be around Naomi all the time because she is so life-giving. She is so complimentary always. And it's true. Naomi, I don't think I've ever heard you really say anything about yourself. It's always, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? So do that back to her. Ask her how her life is. We'll get you back. Steve and I both have some best friends that we call. When we need to be encouraged, we have best friends that we call. Every now and then I'll hear Steve say, I just need to hear Kevin's voice right now because I'm always encouraged when I talk to Kevin, or I will have somebody that I call. Who in your life sees more in you than you see in yourself? It may be somebody that's sitting right here. Go be with that person. So what's your next step there? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you who you are in God's eyes and look up. Let's go back and reread Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Here's what it says. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another, that's the church, to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another now that the day of his return is drawing near. See more in others than they see in themselves. See more in yourself than you see in yourself. Do we see what God sees?
Do you see what God sees? Whether you're looking at others or whether you're looking at yourself, do you see what God sees? What's in your mind and what's in your heart, those things affect your actions. What does that mean? Those things that are input into us and the things that we save in our life, in our heart, in our mind, they affect us. If we're happy, we're sad, if we're angry, if we're always looking for negative things, if we're always complaining, if we're always doing things that create a negative or not a way of building up the church. We are the church, and let us encourage how we can encourage, let us consider how we can encourage and build up the church. Be an encourager. Start here with God's people. Be an encourager to those who are in authority, leaders and pastors. Jan and I are a blended family. You know, she was single for 12 years, I was for 8, and we came together with 2 families. And that created some difficulty. For those of you that are blended families, that's no news. You know that. And so God's placed on our heart a burden for the blended family. And when we hear that someone's a blended family, we want to hear their story and know how we can pray for them and maybe share some words of encouragement with them, the things that we've found and learned. What is your best next step? What's holding you? Be connected and invest in people. I like the word invest. When, you know, we say, hey, I'm going to go spend time with, you know, Bob. We're not spending time, we're investing time. Because when you spend, I'm not teaching Dave Ramsey right now, but when you spend, it's gone. But when you invest, you get a return.
That's right.
So if you spend time with people, it's not getting a return, but if you invest in people, you get that return.
So what is the next step for you? I think for each of us, we have to ask ourselves, what's holding us back? What is that thing that's holding us back? To see what God sees. We all want to leave a legacy, don't we? We really do. And this affects generations. And I just, as we close, I want to just mention, I married into a family that's an amazing family. Phil and Naomi both have parents who passed on a heritage to them, parents who love the Lord. I know that Naomi's mom, and I'm pretty close to their mom. I adore their mom. She was a first-generation Christian, as I am in my family. I'm a first one. But I can pass that on to generations. And I look at Phil and Naomi and what was created here by the heritage that they have. And I look at Jake and Christina. Wow, what a heritage you have. I love what it says in Psalm 61, verse 5. It says, you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. What a heritage. See what God sees. That's the theme I guess that's pretty obvious by now, huh? See what God sees.
Do you see what God sees? What kind of thoughts have come to mind as we talk today? What kind of things have you considered to take that next step? What I'm going to do is I'm going to read each of the statements that we've been repeating over and over. And when I read the first one, I want you to consider, what is my step? What can I do? What can I intentionally do for this? To see more in others than they see in themselves. What can you do? Have you got a thought in mind? What could you do to see more in others? What kind of an action step? Maybe it is just to talk to a stranger. You know, really, if you talk to a stranger, you probably never see him again. So you might as well just encourage him. Say something good about him. Say something nice. They're a stranger. You know, whatever they look like, whatever they smell like, whatever they're doing, you know, just love them.
Don't be like me on the airplane.
Well, if you stink, stay far away from when you encourage them. But see more in others. You know, sometimes going, you know, if you look at, you say, God, give me a word of encouragement for someone. Give me a word of life to speak to someone. One of the things I like to do is sometimes God gives me a word, a thought for a young person and say, man, I see more for you than I see it. I know God has a future and a hope for you. And God cares for you and he loves you. And he has a purpose and a plan for you. See more in others than what they see in themselves. Let's pray. God, I pray right now that we would see more in others than what they see in themselves. God, I pray that we would not only see it, but that we would speak it, that we would do something with it. God, that we would see more in others and say that to them. God, I pray right now for those opportunities to start in the church. We could practice it here, and we can take it to our neighborhoods, our work, and wherever we go. See more in yourself. Now I want you to think about this one. I want you to think about seeing more in yourself than what you see in yourself. How in the world can you do that? The Holy Spirit is living and active in your life and in your heart. I have a time where God spoke to me. I was at a prayer breakfast, and God said, I want you to respond. And the response was to commit to pray every day, to commit to be a pure man, and to commit to be to share my life and faith with others. How did that happen? Have listening ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Have a listening heart to hear what God's saying to you. So I want you to consider, what is God saying to you today? What is he speaking to you to see more, to go beyond where you are right now? Let's pray. God, I pray right now for us. God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in each person in this room. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak. And God, I thank you that you are here and you're working in our life. Because we know that, as Christ says, we ask you into our heart to receive you as our Lord and as our Savior, as the one who we want to lead our life, that gift of the Holy Spirit comes. Encourager comes. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of us today to see more in ourselves than what we see. And the last statement I want to talk about and pray about is, do you see what God sees? I'd like to go back one slide if I could. I don't know if it can do that. Do you see what God sees? And in those, I don't know if you remember, there was pictures of people there. There were two pictures. And in those pictures, there was a young man who was muscling, showing his muscles. And that's what God sees. God sees you as a strong person, as a person who has abilities, as a person who has talents, as a person who can be the church. Do you see what God sees? God, I thank you for this time that you've given us to share these words. And God, I pray that we would see more in each other, in ourselves, and in those who are not part of the body, who are not part of believers, because when we love on them, they'll want what we have. And that's you, Christ, in our life. Do you see what God sees? We do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we have an honor and a privilege today to be able to present pastoral credentials to Christina. Would you come forward, Christina, and Jake, and Phil and Naomi, want to come up here? This is really fun for me because we both married into this family. I know some days, no, it's always a blessing, right? Okay. Just get that straight. We married into this family, and so I get to call Christina my niece. When I called her the other day, she answered, "Hi, Aunt Jan." I love that. I have watched her in ministry. I have watched her at youth camp the last couple of years, leading activities. I know in the trips, the youth trips, this is a girl after God's heart. And she gives her all. And she has heard the call to shepherding God's people. And she has answered that call and walked through the steps to do that. I'm so excited for you.
You know, today what we talked about is talked about us all doing ministry. But today, we're celebrating with Christina because she's taken that step to be credentialed with Open Bible. And Jan, would you read the certificate for me, please?
This certifies Christina Waldo is licensed to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ in accordance with the Statement of Faith and the Open Bible Manual. The holder of this certificate is hereby officially recognized as a credentialed minister of Open Bible. You are the holder of Open Bible Churches according to its doctrines and the Open Bible Manual. The certificate shows active service and fellowship with the association as long as good standing is maintained. Given this, no, this was dated. What's today?
Well, this is today, the date it was happened.
I know, but I want to say today.
Oh, today is July 15th, 2018.
Given on this, sorry about that, I lost time for a minute there.
There we go.
Given on this 15th day of July 2018, signed by President Bach and the Board of Directors. Congratulations to Christina.
Well, we're going to pray for them. Of course, Naomi's crying.
Get out
right?
of the way.
We all know that. God, I thank you that you have given us this privilege. God, I thank you that, God, as you've brought me back to Des Moines so that I could work at the regional office of Open Bible and be able to present this to this great niece and, of course, the nephew as well, who's standing next to her. God, I pray that this ministry team, as they go forth, they would continue to hear your voice as they shepherd the youth, as they shepherd others. God, I pray that you would be with them as they are the pastors in this position. And God, I thank you that you are here and you're doing this great work in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll hug you too, man. We're done. We're done. You need to come back. Aren't you on?